But you are a chosen race, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession, that you may declare the marvelous deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his wondrous light. Our Father, we thank thee for the gospel of thy Son, Jesus Christ, this marvelous good news of redemption, by which we have been transferred from the dominion of darkness and gloom into the kingdom of thy beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Grant, we pray thee, that we may be loyal and fervent, eager witnesses of this gospel. And we look forward in hope to the time when all of those who sit in darkness shall have seen the great light, and the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge and glory of our Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In Jesus' name, amen. Our speaker for this morning is Mr. Luke Smith of the Personnel Department of the Foreign Mission Board in Richmond. Mr. Smith is a native of Georgia, and his ministry, after finishing the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary at Louisville, the BD course, has been spent in Georgia. He was pastor of Highland Hills Baptist Church in Macon until recently, when he and his wife volunteered for foreign missionary service, and in the process of negotiations for appointment, it was discovered that a health problem would probably make it inadvisable for them to go for foreign service. So they were enlisted as helpers in the personnel department of the Foreign Mission Board, where Mr. Smith already is performing a very fine and effective service. He is visiting on our campus, has been visiting this week with Mr. James Sturtz, also of the personnel department, and as you know, they have been having conferences with students concerning foreign missionary service. He will be with us through today and until tomorrow, I believe, and it is a happy privilege to welcome him to our campus and to this chapel service and to listen prayerfully to his message.
Thank you, Dr. Copeland. It is a genuine pleasure and privilege to be on your campus. This is my first visit to Southeastern. I have heard for a long time of the wonderful work that is being done here, wonderful spirit which prevails on your campus. I'm glad that I've had the opportunity of seeing for myself and of being enriched personally by this visit this week. I appreciate this privilege to speak in chapel today. I especially appreciate it today because of the missionary address. It's a very fine address by Dr. Lansdell yesterday. The wonderful spirit and wonderful message which he gave us at that time. Today I'd like to share with you something of an experience which I have had in missions. Not just a personal testimony, but something of a spiritual journey which I have made, and a consciousness and a conviction which I believe has been growing in my mind and heart concerning our world. I'd like to read this morning one of the verses that we read in our responsive reading, and then an additional verse from the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to them the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. There has been a growing idea in my mind for several years that God was in Christ reconciling not just the small church field on which I was serving, but the world unto himself. As I read through the New Testament, I sense a real urgency about this ministry to the world. I sense a consciousness in the minds of these who participated in New Testament times and the work that was going on and in the writing of this great book. I sense a real expectancy that God was going to do something about the world in which they were living. That the world was not hidebound by its patterns and molds. That society could be changed. That the conditions which were prevalent at that time need not go on into the future, being a characteristic of the creation of God the Father, but that since God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, that even the very nature of creation itself could be changed. Paul said this in the 8th chapter of Romans. He said, creation itself is groaning in travail, even unto now, waiting the revealing of the sons of God. He said, the world awaits with eager longing the revelation of the power of God. I'm afraid that I haven't always felt this. I went through the seminary at Louisville, had the benefit of some wonderful instruction, some very fine professors, had every opportunity of growing in the knowledge of the real message of God in this world. But I'm afraid that I came out of the seminary without having been really reached for with any noticeable amount or in any appreciable way, without having been reached with a gospel that I felt was relevant for the whole world and not just for a specific church community. I went as assistant pastor of a church for 1 year and then as pastor of a church in Macon, Georgia for almost 6 years. I had a well-defined church community, as maybe some of you have. I knew exactly how many people lived in the community, 3,370-some-odd people. Church of which I was pastor was the only church in that particular area. For about 2 or 3 years, I submerged myself into that little geographical area. I lost myself there in that particular work, and I failed to identify myself with a much greater task around this world. I read in a book called entitled The Impact of Science on Society a quotation one day which worked as a wedge in my mind. The book was written by Sir Bertrand Russell, a noted British mathematician, an outspoken agnostic. But he said something which God used to draw me to something of a world conviction and consciousness. He said in this book, the future of the human race is going to be decided in our lifetime, and it will be decided whether that future will be much better or much worse. I never have gotten away from those words. As a preacher would say, they have been ringing in my mind ever since. And gradually, one experience after another, God kept leading me towards an awareness that an area called North Highlands in Macon, Georgia, was not the whole field, but an awareness, as Jesus said, that the field is the world. It was through something of this spiritual metamorphosis that my wife and I made our decision for missions. I'd like to share with you this morning something of these ideas. First of all, my friends, you and I are living in a time which is changing so rapidly that none of us can adequately determine or define just exactly how tremendous have been these changes and this revolution in which we're living. Someone has said that we're living in a time of at least six revolutions going on, stretching all the way from the religious to the political, some of them going on in some countries simultaneously. And out of this general upheaval and change today, we are coming to realize that our world is a neighborhood. Because space and distance are no longer barriers to the means of travel in this world, and our world has been shortened, and these nations have been drawn together. The furthest point on the globe tonight or today can be reached in the space of just one day. I had this very dramatically brought home to me several years ago as I was driving down one of the expressways in New York City along the Hudson River. I passed by a very strange sight. It presented an unusual contrast to me. For tied up at the dock along the Hudson River was the replica of the Mayflower. And alongside the little Mayflower loomed the tremendous ocean liners which go back and forth across the Atlantic and the Pacific. And it struck me with a strange awareness that this was an unusual sign or contrast of the way that our world has changed since 1620, when the Pilgrims came to this country. It took them 3 months to make the voyage. But today we make a similar trip by water in a matter of a few days, by air in a matter of a few hours. Let me say to you that the fact that this world has shrunk into such a closely knit neighborhood means that you and I have a greater responsibility for Christ than we've ever had before. The people of the world are very much aware of what is going on in America. They're very much conscious of the kind of Christianity which we have in this country. Not only are we responsible because of the example that we set in this own country, but we're responsible because of the fact that we have opportunities of reaching what were once distant lands that people never had before. This to me is a great conviction, that the world is a neighborhood, and that the world that God was reaching through Jesus Christ is almost at our fingertips. Not only has the distance been shortened by means of travel, but also by means of communication. Our missionaries tell us upon returning from the mission fields that what happens in this country is a matter of great concern in Nigeria and Ghana and Japan and every nation around this world. That the news that you and I read on our front pages of our newspapers is also news on the front page of newspapers in other countries. Missionaries from Nigeria say that there are many people in that country who can discuss the happenings in Little Rock in a much more intelligent manner than some of us here in the South. They keep up with what we're doing. and our responsibility to this world as Christians and as sons of God is increasing. Let me say also that I hope I'm not too optimistic in saying that in these changing times, that I believe that we are growing in the awareness that the people of the world are our brothers. For a long time, in theory, we have subscribed to the teachings of the New Testament that there is neither Greek nor Jew, that there is neither slave nor free, that all are one in Christ. But we have been all too guilty, as we well realize, in carrying out this theory and putting it into practice, that we have been negligent in looking upon people of other races and other nationalities as being true brothers in Christ, and at a oneness with us in this creation of God. Our prejudices are so deep seated in our souls that some of us have never made any effort at all to uproot them and cast them out. I'll never forget what I read concerning a statement by Dr. Albert Einstein. Dr. Einstein, very soon after he had made the pronouncement of the theory of relativity, was approached by a newspaper reporter. This man asked him, "Dr. Einstein, you're a very young man in your 20s. Almost overnight, you have been catapulted into world fame. How do you feel about all of this attention that you're getting?" Dr. Einstein said, "I'm not very much impressed with it." He said, "I know that if Albert Einstein had never discovered that E equals MC squared, that the people of Switzerland in which I was working at the time I made this discovery would have told me to go home to Italy, for that was my home before I came to Bern. And the people of Italy would have told me, 'Einstein, go home to Germany because that's where you were born.' And the people of Germany would have said, 'Einstein, you're a Jew and we don't want Jews in Germany. We want you to get out.'" Albert Einstein said, "I have never been appreciated for myself. I've only been appreciated for what I could do for others, for the way that I could be used by nations." Many of us have not appreciated those of other nationalities and races for themselves. And this has been a very difficult thing for us, to accept the commandment of Christ in. Our Father has given us a ministry of world consciousness, that the field is the world. As John Wesley said when he returned from Georgia as a failure as a foreign missionary, he went back to England. He had this tremendous experience in the little prayer service. He said a few weeks later, "The world is my parish." God never let John Wesley go again as a foreign missionary. But every one of us realizes that he was, in every sense of the word, a missionary to his own people in his own country. The important thing is not that God calls us to serve overseas or calls us to serve here. The important thing is that we be in the will of God where God does call us. And those of us who are called to serve here in home in a pastorate, in an educational capacity, each one of us has a ministry of world consciousness, of worldwide scope. Or as Paul said, a ministry to share to the world and with the world in that particular area where we're living, and in a greater sense, in every area where his word is being preached to share that God was in Christ, reconciling this world unto himself. This is what we need as Southern Baptists. We need to send more missionaries. It's true that I believe God is calling more of us to go than do go. Certainly 9 million Southern Baptists can support more than 1,357 missionaries overseas. But it's also true that as God calls us to serve here at home, we can do so with a conviction that we are very much a part of what is going on in Africa and the Orient and Latin America. And that even though we may not have the privilege of going ourselves, that we have a privilege of supporting those who do go and of being supported by them in that which we're doing here at home. I pray to God that there will be an urgency in our ministry about these times in which we live. It may be, as Sir Bertrand Russell said, that the future of the human race will be decided in our lifetime. Whether this is true or not, certainly you and I have the same obligation that the New Testament Christian had in New Testament times. An obligation that says that we have just one lifetime to give to our God. And we still have the same world to win which they themselves had. 35% of the world, of the people of the world, are Christians. And there are some doors closed to us, but there are so many doors open in so many ways that we can serve. Let this be an urgency in your life. Entertain this call to missions. If God wants you to go, go. God wants you to stay, stay. But let us do all in the Spirit and in the name and for the glory of Jesus Christ, because we are His and because we are involved in the welfare and destiny of all of the people of this world. Let us stand. We do thank Thee, our Lord, that we have received this ministry of reconciliation, and that it is ours not for our own sakes, but it is ours for the sake of all mankind. We pray that we shall lay down our lives, take up our crosses, and follow Thee to any place of service, to any type of service that Thou would have us to render. And that Thou wilt bless our ministries, our talents, the use of our lives, so that we shall truly fulfill that plan that Thou dost have for each of us. We thank Thee for this wonderful institution and for these who teach here. We thank Thee for these who are studying to prepare themselves for service, here or abroad. May Thy Spirit prevail. May Thy presence ever be apparent. And may the conviction that Thy power is operating in that which is being done here spread throughout this state and around this world. For we make this prayer in Thy name.